Earth Science, 8th grade, the Solar System, March 30th through April 3rd. Monday, March 30th, Unit, Astronomy, continued. Last week we explored the great array of objects that make up our solar system, our sun, and all the objects gravitationally bound to it. The distances between objects and the solar are so vast as to be nearly incomprehensible. If the sun were a quarter inch across, the Earth would be just over 2 feet away, and Neptune would be over 67 feet away. At these scales, the units already familiar to us become unwieldy. 30 million kilometers, or 500 million miles. How can you keep it straight? Thankfully, as we learned last week, scientists introduced the astronomical unit, or AU, to help keep things straight. An astronomical unit is equal to the average distance from the sun to the Earth, about 93 million miles. Thus, the distance from Neptune to the sun moves from being the daunting 2,781,800,000 miles to the more manageable 30 AU, 30 astronomical unit. As we move beyond our solar system into interstellar and finally intergalactic space, the distances are so unimaginably great that astronomical units become as hopeless as inches. The nearest star to us outside our solar system, Alpha Centauri, our very closest neighbor in the great void of space, is 265,613 AU, or astronomical units, away. At the scale used above, with our sun being a quarter inch across, Alpha Centauri would be 114.5 miles away. Two marble-sized stars with nothing but empty void between them, further apart from each other than we are from Austin, Texas. In order to manage these distances, scientists use an even larger unit of scale, the light year. The light year, 6 trillion miles, or 9 trillion kilometers, roughly 63,241.1 AU, is a unit of distance, not time. It is the distance traveled by light, the farthest thing in the universe, over the course of a year. At this scale, Alpha Centauri is 4.2 light years away. Page 3. The reading for Lesson 1 will be the text immediately below. Read and annotate these pages carefully, and then answer the questions below. Before the Civil War, thousands of enslaved African Americans fled north to freedom. Traveling in secret by night, they looked to the stars for direction. They told one another to, quote, follow the drinking gourd, the star pattern that points to the North Star. Most Americans today call this pattern the Big Dipper. Patterns of stars in the sky are called constellations. Stars in a constellation can look as if they are close together, even though they are very different distances from Earth. For example, the star at the end of the handle in the Big Dipper is about twice as far from Earth as most of the other stars in the Big Dipper. So the stars in a constellation are not, in fact, all close together. Constellations are just patterns formed by stars that happen to be in the same direction in the night sky. Looking at stars. The stars and constellations appear as points of light. In fact, stars are huge spheres of hot, glowing gas, like the sun. Visible light is only one type of electromagnetic radiation given off by stars. Stars also give off radiation that you can't see. For example, some stars give off radiation in the form of radio waves. These waves are like the ones that carry signals to radios and televisions. Astronomers use telescopes to observe stars and learn more about them. Many telescopes produce images using visible light. However, much of modern astronomy is based on detection of other types of electromagnetic radiation. Most telescopes collect and focus different types of electromagnetic radiation from stars, including visible light. Visible light telescopes. In 1609 AD, Galileo used a simple refracting telescope to look at objects in the sky. Among the objects he saw were the moons of the planet Jupiter, sunspots, and the terrain of the moon. Recall that a refracting telescope uses convex lenses to gather a large amount of light and focus it onto a small area. Galileo's telescope, like the refracting telescope shown in Figure 1, used two lenses, an objective lens and an eyepiece lens. When light passes through the objective lens, the lens focuses the light at the focal point of the lens. The distance from the focal point to the objective lens is the focal length of the objective lens. The larger the objective lens, the more light the lens can collect. This makes it easier for astronomers to see faint objects. The eyepiece lens is also a convex lens. It has a focal point that coincides with that of the objective lens. Page 4. Isaac Newton built the first reflecting telescope in 1668 AD. As you can see in Figure 2, a reflecting telescope uses a mirror instead of an objective lens. Like the lenses in a refracting telescope, the mirror in a reflecting telescope focuses a large amount of light onto a small area. The larger the mirror, the more light the telescope can collect. The largest visible light telescopes are now all reflecting telescopes. Radio telescopes. Devices used to detect radio waves from objects in space are called radio telescopes. Most radio telescopes have curved, reflecting surfaces. These surfaces can be several hundred meters in diameter. They focus radio waves the way the mirror in a reflecting telescope focuses light waves. Radio telescopes concentrate the faint radio waves from outer space onto an antenna like that on a radio. As with visible light telescopes, the larger a radio telescope is, the more radio waves it can collect. Other telescopes. Some telescopes detect infrared radiation, which has longer wavelengths than visible light. There are also telescopes that detect the shortest wavelengths, ultraviolet radiation, X-rays, and gamma rays. Observatories. A building that contains one or more telescopes is called an observatory. Most large observatories are located on mountaintops. Why have astronomers built the largest visible light telescopes on the tops of mountains? Earth's atmosphere makes objects in space look blurry. The sky on some mountaintops is clearer and is not brightened by city lights. The best observatory site on Earth is probably the top of Mauna Kea, an ancient volcano on the island of Hawaii in the Pacific Ocean. Mauna Kea is so tall, 4,200 meters above sea level, that it is above 40% of Earth's atmosphere. The sky there is very dark at night, and many nights are free of clouds. The McDonald Observatory in the Davis Mountains of southwest Texas has four operating telescopes. The largest is the Hobby Eberle Reflecting Telescope. It sits on Mount Foulkes, about 2 kilometers above sea level. It collects light on a mirror that is over 9 meters in diameter. To collect data from visible light telescopes on Earth, astronomers must sometimes stay awake all night. Radio telescopes, however, can be used 24 hours a day and do not have to be on mountaintops. Page 5. Satellites. Most ultraviolet radiation, X-rays, and gamma rays are blocked by Earth's atmosphere. To detect these wavelengths, astronomers have placed telescopes on satellites. The Hubble Space Telescope is a reflecting telescope with a mirror 2.4 meters in diameter. Because it is above the atmosphere, its images of stars and visible light are about 7 times more detailed than the best images from telescopes on Earth. The Hubble Space Telescope can also collect ultraviolet and infrared radiation. The Chandra X-ray Observatory, similar in size to Hubble, makes images in the X-ray portion of the spectrum. Spectrographs. Most large telescopes today have spectrographs. A spectrograph breaks the light from an object into colors and photographs the resulting spectrum. Astronomers use spectrographs to get information about stars, including their chemical compositions and temperatures. Chemical elements in a star's atmosphere absorb light from the star. Each element absorbs light at different wavelengths, and each absorbed wavelength appears as a dark line on a spectrum. Just as each person has a unique set of fingerprints, each chemical element has a unique set of such lines. You can see examples of these telescopes in years. I will read some of them on this page. 5. 1897, Yerkes Telescope. The 1 meter diameter telescope at Yerkes Observatory in Wisconsin is the largest refracting telescope ever built. Because its main lens is so large, the Yerkes telescope can collect more light than any other refracting telescope. 1931, beginning of radio astronomy. Carl Jansky, an American engineer, was trying to find the source of static that was interfering with radio communications. Using a large antenna, he discovered that the static was coming from objects in space giving off radio waves. Jansky's accidental discovery led to the beginning of radio astronomy. 1963. Arecibo Radio Telescope. This radio telescope in Puerto Rico was built in a natural bowl in the ground. It is 305 meters in diameter, more than 3 times the size of the next largest radio telescope. 1980, Very Large Array. The Very Large Array is a set of 27 radio telescopes in New Mexico. The telescopes can be moved close together or far apart. The telescopes are linked, so they can be used as if they were one giant telescope, 25 kilometers in diameter. 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope. The Hubble Space Telescope can see objects in space more clearly than any other telescope. Astronauts have visited the telescope several times to repair or replace equipment. 1999, Chandra X-ray Observatory. The hottest objects in space give off X-rays. NASA launched the Chandra X-ray Observatory into orbit to make detailed images in that part of the spectrum. Chandra X-ray images match Hubble visible light images in detail. Page 6. By comparing a star's spectrum with the known spectrums of different elements, such as those shown in Figure 5, astronomers can infer which elements are found in a star. Temperatures. Most stars have a chemical composition similar to the Sun, about 73% hydrogen, 25% helium, and 2% other elements. The amount of energy each of these elements absorbs depends on the temperature of the star. Because of this, stars at different temperatures produce different line spectrums. By comparing a star's spectrum with the known spectrums of elements at different temperatures, astronomers can infer how hot the star is. Hydrogen, for example, produces very strong spectral lines when it is at about 10,000 degrees Celsius. If astronomers do not see a strong hydrogen line on a spectrum, this does not mean there is no hydrogen in the star. It just means that the star is either cooler or hotter than 10,000 degrees Celsius. Answer the following questions in complete sentence in the space provided. What can astronomers determine from looking at a star's spectrum? Number 2. What does a spectrum without strong hydrogen lines tell you about a star's temperature? Number 3. What is the difference between a radio telescope and a refracting telescope? This concludes Monday, March 30th.